It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, because the damn preseason's finally over. Welcome in to a special post-game edition of Cabali and Mac. He's veteran Steelers reporter for the Pat McAfee Show, Mark Cabali. I'm just some dude in his basement with a microphone, Chris Mack. And the preseason is mercifully over. This is going to be an abridged. Oh, you got the mango out for this. Holy hell.
I didn't crack into it yet, though,
did you?
What's that?
You didn't open it?
Not yet.
Not yet. Not quite yet. No, Richie, one of the first comments.
That's a hell no.
No.
Kaboom. Did you happen to watch this game?
I'd love to know how many people who are going to jump in the comments and say, why Kaboom and Charlotte?
Well, honestly,
actually watch the whole game themselves.
I honestly believe that there's maybe three media members in Charlotte.
Let's see. Are you counting team employed media?
No, real media.
Really? What a shot across Missy Matthews, pal. Wow.
It's just terrible. And that's, you see what happened. So
that was not a great game. That was about as sloppy as it gets. Real quick, got to thank each and every one of you for following us on social media at Cabali and Mac. I don't care if it's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, where you may be watching this right now, or of course on YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed as well. And to all of our fantastic, wonderful, beautiful sponsors who support the show. Like I said, this is sort of an abridged post-game edition. So I just want to thank all of them right off the top. Southwest Greens, get your yard done. Just don't get the same turf that they have at Bank of America Stadium. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show as well. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, if you're into all that first responder type stuff, Third Due, First In, brand new podcast, they're supporting the show as well. Nail Studio 2, if you know somebody looking to get their nails did for the start of the school year. I wouldn't be the only person with a teenage daughter looking to do that. By all means, check them out. Nail Studio 2, nailstudioii.com. We appreciate them supporting the show. Impact HVAC as well. Make sure that you're not too hot during the final few weeks of summer. But again, mercifully, the preseason is over. I don't know how much there is to take out of this one, Kaboom.
Well, I think there's plenty.
I will say, I'll start here, okay? The biggest play of the night was the Scotty Miller catch at the end of the second quarter. And then Missy did interview Aaron Rodgers in the fourth quarter on the sidelines, asked him about Scotty Miller. And I mean, Aaron Rodgers' face lights up when you say the name Scotty Miller. Like my face lights up when my kids come home with straight A's on the report card. It's like he loves him some Scotty Miller. That dude's making the team.
Oh, I think that's regardless of what happened today, he made the team. I mean, I think we've talked about that before. He's just shown so much over to OTAs and minicamp and preseason that he's pretty. Forget about number five. I think he solidified as number four. I mean, that's a nice catch, a nice throw at the end of the half. But what in the hell are you doing, Carolina Panthers? What the hell are you doing?
The Panthers are bad. I mean, that's what was all that more frustrating about the beginning of the game was that the Panthers are bad. And the Steelers, first team, most of their first team defense, all but Cam and TJ were out there, looked bad against
Plummer. They look like a team that didn't want to play. They said it's a third preseason game. 33 starters aren't playing for a garbage team. I don't want to be out here right now. And, you know, I don't blame them. I don't blame them. They're not wanting to be out there at that point. I mean, if you're going to play
the other thing,
don't play them this week. I just don't understand the reasoning behind throwing them out there right now.
Well, one of the other things that Missy did report on, Missy Matthews covering the game for the Steelers, obviously, on the sidelines down in Charlotte, was that it looked to her like Ramsey and Porter and Slay were lobbying Mike Tomlin to get back into the game. That didn't happen. They had their one series. It wasn't the prettiest, and they got him out of there. Ramsey takes a boneheaded penalty. Porter whiffs on a tackle or two. it was just sloppy. The first quarter of the game was just very, very sloppy from a lot of guys that are going to be playing important snaps in a few weeks. It's a preseason game. I get it. I'm not going to make too much of it, but I mean, 11 penalties, I think they finished with total. It felt like half of them came on the first couple drives of the game.
Yeah, with your starters in there. I mean, they had the flag on the kickoff. They had a flag on the Warren 6-yard gain Frazier holding. They had a fumble by Warren, which is interesting.
Yeah.
That's one thing we talked about would set him back a little bit. We had a holding on a big Gainwell right of 26 yards. To me, it looks like a team that didn't want to play, didn't want to get hurt, and was just going through the motions right out there. I mean, we have to take into account that they played on Saturday. They practiced Monday and Tuesday, okay, like on the road. But, I mean, Tomlin should have been aware of this. But on the flip side of this, it's preseason, yeah. But now it gives Tomlin something to bitch about, right?
Yeah.
He's the one who's been pumping the goddamn tires up on these guys anyway. So,
Yeah, I'm curious to see what he says post-game about all the errors there are to clean up and how it gives them, like you said, plenty to work on with a couple weeks until the start of the regular season. I think you're right. It's a good thing for him to make everybody chew on over the next couple of weeks. And I'll just say, it doesn't matter what team you are and who you're playing. If you have 11 penalties, you're going to look like crap in the midst of that. And they did. They look like crap at times in the first quarter. Mason with another less than stellar throw on a pick for the second week in a row. That's not going to change anything about the quarterback depth chart. I do think there's an interesting conversation to be had about what they do with Skylar Thompson. I know I brought this up a while ago, and you're right. It's not like they're going to get in, they're not going to trade. But I think if they wanted to, they could stash Will Howard on IR for the first 4 weeks of the season and hold on to Skylar Thompson to see if somebody gets desperate for a backup quarterback in the first month of the season.
Desperate for Skylar Thompson.
I mean, would you argue that Skylar Thompson did not, granted, against mostly third and fourth stringers,
yes.
But Skylar Thompson looked really good in the preseason, for what it's worth.
You know, I mean, we'll see when he gets released here, and I do believe he will get released here in a couple days here, that they'll try to trade him and they won't get anything for him. And I'm not even 100% sure he would land on a 53-man roster anywhere else. We do have to put this in perspective now. We definitely have to put this in perspective of who he was playing when he was in there, who he was playing against as well. That does matter when it comes to that. Did he look good? Did he do what he was supposed to? Kudos to him. He did. But that does not do anything to the fact that he's still Skylar Thompson, and nobody's going to be beating your door down for him. And he shouldn't be number two. He's not even going to be number three on this team.
So before we get to the rest of the offense and the sloppiness with the penalties and the running back room and the wide receiver room and what it all looks like, maybe tomorrow, if we don't, let's save it for tomorrow. We could talk about like roster breakdown because cut down day is on Tuesday.
Are we doing this tomorrow? I forgot.
Sure. Why not? If we're only going to talk for like 15, 20 minutes tonight, yeah, let's save the good stuff for tomorrow. But in all seriousness, the big story we thought was going to be Derek Harmon with what looked like originally a pretty serious injury, back out on the bench at the very end of the game, laughing it up and smiling and joking with Cam Hayward and TJ Watt. I take that as a very good sign that this won't be something that is nearly as bad as what it first looked like. When a guy gets carted off and the look on his face says, oh my God, my rookie season's already over before it started. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I mean, they look bad. I mean, but they cart everybody off. So that's beside the point there, but him coming, I mean, not only that, the halftime talk between him and Missy, Tomlin really was careful with some of his words trying to describe that. So it didn't even look good at that point. But him back out onto the field, I mean, it could be a couple weeks. It could be whatever. It sure does look like near the end of the game that it was nearly as serious. Because you never see a guy have a torn ACL or ripped Achilles tendon, whatever it might have been, be back on the bench like that. I mean,
no. I think if it was anything resembling an injury that would have him out a significant amount of time, or even have him missing any regular season snaps, I don't think he's walking back out to the bench to watch the end of the game. I think they probably just have him sitting in the trainer's room, iced up, waiting to get on the plane. So I mean, talk about 180 degrees in a matter of like an hour, hour and a half or so. I will say, when it looked like we were going to be fearing the worst with the Derek Harmon injury, Y.A. Black took advantage of that opportunity. Two sacks. And it wasn't just tonight against Carolina's second and third string offensive line. I mean, most of the preseason, he looked like a guy that he looks better than a fifth round pick. I'll just say that. He looks like a guy ready for snaps from the get-go, from the outset, and they can include him in that defensive line rotation right there from the start.
Yeah, I think he has that body style that be able to translate.
He gave it the old belly rub. Did you see that?
I did not see the belly rub. I saw him once again using his hands and arms just to get people off of him. That sort of like translates everywhere. I mean, you don't have to rely on scheme technique or anything that. So he'll be able to contribute. I don't know how he's going to be contributing as much as you might, you know, two sacks and, you know, what do you have, five tackles and a couple tackles for losses. You know, he's not going to do anything like that in the preseason. I wouldn't anticipate at this point, but he's definitely going to be a heavy rotation guy right now. I mean, if Harmon's out a couple weeks, you know, knee sprain, whatever it could be, you know.
I don't feel – but that doesn't – like, I think in past years we would have looked at it, you would have seen a starting defensive lineman go down, you go, oh,
exactly.
To be able to rely on a fifth round rookie to maybe step in and take a significant number of snaps from the get go, that's not what I was expecting when they drafted Y.A. Black in the fifth round. I mean, I knew obviously that he was better than maybe a fifth round pedigree, especially because of the size and the strength and all that. But I didn't expect him to then come to mini camp and camp and show up in the preseason the way he did.
I think people probably looked at him and saw him as a straight nose, straight zero, and stayed away from him because of that. And he's proven here that that's not what he is. He's actually, you know, he's an interior guy. You know, he's a defensive tackle, four-eye guy, so to speak. He can do all that type of stuff. So he's more than – I don't even know if he's played much in nose tackle. I haven't recalled seeing him playing, literally lining up in that spot in preseason or training camp. Maybe he did, but I don't realize if it wasn't that very much. So I think that's why. I think that's why he probably fell, because people box him into just being a, you know, Casey Hampton type of guy.
Yeah.
In this day and age, that doesn't really translate.
It doesn't exist. It doesn't play if you have that true zero nose tackle type like you're talking about. It's not playing more than 15 or 20 snaps a week, if that. So if he can fit in that rotation, like you said, maybe take some snaps while Derek Harmon is getting back to 100%, depending on the severity of the injury, that'd be great. By the way, I'm not saying the turf caused an injury, but when the hell did Bank of America Stadium go from grass? They were natural grass for years. A couple people responded to me on X when I asked this question. When the hell did they go to turf? Apparently they have a soccer team there now that plays on the same field, and they're having all kinds of big concerts at Bank of America Stadium. But, I mean, when they were playing ACC games there and the Panthers were playing eight home games every year, I don't remember the grass ever being bad. Somebody brought up maintenance costs and maybe David Tepper's a cheapskate and doesn't want to pay to resod the field a couple times a year. I don't know. But, like, I just hate when they go from grass, and grass that was never a problem, to artificial turf, because then every time there's some kind of ankle or knee injury, you wonder if that was some kind of impact on it.
Yeah, I don't know when they went. What's the name of that stadium again?
Bank of America.
Yeah, it probably it's probably been longer than you would anticipate.
Yeah, you know? I had someone suggest to me that it was like 4 or 5 years ago when they got World Cup soccer games there, maybe, or they got a soccer team. That makes even less sense to me that if you have a soccer team, you would put in turf. But
it doesn't take very hard. It's not very hard to figure this out. Bank of America Stadium transitioned from natural grass to field turf in mid-2021 to better accommodate the high volume of events, Charlotte FC soccer and concerts. Then David Tepper was ripping on it in 2023 and said it was felt like concrete.
Well, then rip it up and put grass back in. Like, they have concerts at stadiums with grass fields all the time. The Pirates will have a concert in the middle of the summer, and the grass is fine. Like, if they can do it at PNC Park, I'm sure they can handle it in Charlotte. Like, again, that's just an aside. I have no idea if the turf had anything to do with the twisting of Derek Harmon thing or not. It was just one of those stupid things that caught my attention.
Honestly, what do you expect from Tepper? He's only worth $21 billion.
Yeah, I mean... How should he be expected to replace that grass every couple of months?
How in the world are you worth $21 billion? That's more than Jerry Jones. Stan Kroenke is worth $188 billion.
When you have enough money to build entire, not just buildings, but like portions of campus at CMU and name it after yourself, that's big FU money. And David Tepper has FU money. That's why he can stand up in his owner's suite and yell down to the peons in the crowd when
throw
the Panthers suck.
Throw beer in the face, right?
Yeah. I mean, the whole deal. Doesn't mean he's not also cheap and put down artificial turf so he wouldn't have to replace the grass three times.
He probably wouldn't have to pay for it anyways. So, you know what I did notice? I mean, let's transition to the game because we're not going to do this very long a little bit. But yeah. I think what showed tonight for all the running backs from let me see who – actually Caleb. Carries here today.
Trey Sermon looked good again.
Johnson, Sermon, Hall, Warren, Gainwell, Nichols. They all, you can see them all really doing that outside zone.
Stretch.
One step, cut back, make a decision right away. That's how Sermon got some yards. That's how Warren got some yards early on. That's how Gainwell got some yards early on. So you see little glimpses of what they want to do and how they want to run the ball when they have the right personnel. What's a little bit concerning to me, it's not concerning, but what I've noticed is Zach Frazier getting pushed around by much bigger players 2 weeks in a row now. I wouldn't say concerning, I just noticed it.
Well, you can call it concerning, I think.
Not concerned.
Jason's right. Tepper should have called Southwest Greens to take care of the field.
We could probably hook him up.
You think we could get him in touch with somebody that could help him out? It's been a training camp and a preseason of odd little things for Zach Frazier, right? Like the snaps, lots of people get pushed around by Vita Vea. Like that's, I don't want to say I just give him a pass last week, but that happens. But yeah, getting pushed around a little bit again this week is it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, by some guy named Shy Tuttle.
Yeah, who the hell is that? But I think for the most part, like you said, it was good to see the offensive line and the running backs kind of working in sync in that those blocks were going where they were supposed to go and the backs were reading off of it. And following what they should be doing when the blocks go a certain way in this sort of concept.
And another thing you saw that I thought looked good, let's be positive here. Pat Freiermuth looked like he's in midseason form. He was getting open, making some catches, drawing some penalties. So that's a plus. I mean, we still haven't seen Jonnu, which is somewhat
concerning. Are we allowed to call that concerning?
That might be a little concerning. Yeah. He hasn't practiced a ton. I don't even know. I'm sure he's practiced back-to-back days, but not as much as you would think it is. I don't know if it's precautionary. I mean, a guy like Jack Sawyer finally showed up a little bit tonight. That's a positive. The offensive line seemed decent to me.
Corey wants to
look good early, I think.
Corey wants to know if we can talk about how good the tackles have looked. Are we believing in the Broderick Jones, Troy Faltanu tandem at tackle?
Well, I'm definitely believing in Faltanu. I've never had a question about him. And I think they're showing the belly rub of YA Black now. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, that's a pretty impressive belly. I mean, Broderick Jones, unless he gets absolutely destroyed. And there could be an issue there right now. If he just holds his own at this point, I think that's good enough for right now. And I think he's been doing that.
Okay.
So look early in that game. He looked really good.
So we feel good about the offensive line. We feel good about the run game.
We don't know about the quarterback. We don't know about receivers two and.
So yeah, we'll
Robert Woods play at all. I didn't notice.
I didn't hear his number called at all. So I don't know. We could do a roster breakdown tomorrow. Maybe that's the crux of tomorrow's show.
Yeah, if he's not playing, that's not a good sign for him.
Yeah, but I think Bobby Trees is on the way out, because if they're going to keep five wide receivers, I don't see how he's making it.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, got to tackle a little better. Right?
You've talked to me off the ledge, though, in that I think it was a case of guys just not necessarily wanting to get hurt.
They're probably out there in the final preseason game. There's a play Queen looked like he didn't want anything to do with it.
I know. So
I ain't going there, man. I don't blame him. First of all, they probably didn't even know they were going to play. If Tomlin came into this game and says, let's see what the Panthers do, then we'll be able to decide. The Panthers didn't play anybody. So why – these defensive backs probably didn't even know they were playing until the last minute. I thought he was going to go through warm-ups, then say sit.
You really think they didn't know?
I don't think they knew, no.
That they were going to play?
You would be shocked how little coaches tell players of what's going on like that. Like, say if player X gets demoted from second team to third team.
Uh-huh.
You know when he finds out? When he goes out on the practice field and they're like, hold up, he's going in next. It's not like they bring him to the office and say, hey, man, I got to tell you something here. That's how they find out. They don't tell them in advance.
I would think in the case of Ramsey, Slay, and Porter, you would tell them during warm-ups, hey, guys, you're actually going to see some action tonight.
Maybe he wanted them to mentally go through that of, hey, we're playing. Then say, nah, I'm joking. No, he's saying I'm joking, but he doesn't play them.
Look back to me, man. I don't know. That would surprise me if there's no way that they knew that they were going to play at least a series tonight. Just for those jumping on midstream, Jason, we don't know. We don't know how long Harmon's.
Well, it depends on if at all screen it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, just as we said,
1, 2, or 3, right? You can go anywhere between 2 weeks and 3 months, depending on what grade it is.
Yeah. So with that being said, I'm just going to I take it as a great sign that he was out there on the bench at the end of the game and smiling and laughing it up with TJ and Cam. That's an excellent sign, in my opinion. If it was going to be something I think that would hold him out of games, like I said, I think he's back on the training table, covered in ice, waiting for the plane to take off. So
you got about 2.5 weeks before the Jets game.
Exactly. So we'll do, I'm trying to think who else. James Pierre is going to be on the, is James Pierre making this team? Like, no questions asked. He got the pick. I mean, it was a bad throw. He just happened to be there. But is he making this team regardless, or is James Pierre still on the bubble?
I would say he's on the bubble. I mean, I think a lot will depend on injury-wise and what they need him for. It looks like Skoranek's okay, and so he's right on that bubble. I mean, what did just trying to look here. What did Beanie Bishop do tonight?
I did not see Beanie do anything tonight either.
Well, he has nothing, no stats, so.
Well, is that – maybe he didn't play? Is there a snap? There's no snap count out yet, I don't think.
No, snap count takes a little while.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Beanie didn't play at all, that's different than playing and not showing up on the stat sheet. Like, that means if he didn't play at all, they didn't need to see him.
I didn't notice him. Well, let me look. Let me tell you. I can tell you right now.
Okay.
If he played or not.
Research.
Who are we looking at? Beanie Bishop. Beanie. Did not play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Metcalf, Rogers, Howard, Austin, Thornhill, Trice, Bishop.
There you go. He didn't play at all. That tells me he's made the team.
Does it? Or does it tell you that they didn't want him to get hurt?
Yeah.
They could trade him.
What are they getting for – no offense to Beanie Bishop. I like him. I want him on the team. Something. What are they getting for Beanie Bishop?
Something.
In a trade. Seriously. Mm-hmm. You shot down my Skylar Thompson idea. I'm shooting down your Beanie Bishop idea.
Honestly, the narrative about Skylar Thompson is going to make me ill.
Why?
Okay. Aaron Rodgers gets hurt week two of the season. You want Skylar Thompson who played against the fifth string Tampa Bay
Buccaneers? Who said that?
All these commenters. You watch what happens tomorrow. The narrative over Twitter right now. Yeah, he's better.
I saw the random tweet that you're talking about. Some guy tweeted and tagged a whole bunch of us, like me, you, Donnie Football, Crowley, a whole bunch of us in it, and said, am I crazy for thinking they should cut Rudolph and keep Thompson and Howard? And I said, yes, you're crazy. It's not happening. But why, like I said,
Bishop playing?
What's that?
Why isn't he playing?
Because they don't need to see anything else from him.
Or they've seen enough from him. They're like, you're not making the team. We're going to trade you.
No, if they thought they were going to cut him, they would have put him out there to play more to see if they could get something.
Who are we talking about? Oh, Bobby Trees.
Bobby Trees, I think, is just cooked. Dude hasn't done a thing.
I don't know how many snaps he played yet, but at least we know.
So my point is, if I take it as a good sign that Beanie Bishop didn't play, that they know what they have in Beanie and he's going to make the team. But that does bring up the question of how many corners, like Slay, Ramsey, Porter, Bishop, Pierre, Eccles. Okay, we're at six corners now. We're not going to carry seven corners on this team.
That's what I'm saying. You're playing, only place Beanie can play is slot. So you already got Eccles and Ramsey there. So now what?
Okay.
Three nickels? And the guy that can't play outside? Guy that can't play safety? I'm just...
Okay, then who's the other outside corner besides James Pierre? I don't
think
it's
a good sign that he didn't play. I just don't think it's a good sign.
Okay, we'll see. Did you say Thornhill didn't play either?
No.
See, they're not cutting Juan Thornhill.
Different there.
Why is that different?
I mean, literally, Terrell Austin said on Monday, this is a big game for, I was going to call him T.A., and I'm on Terrell, whatever.
He's just the defensive coordinator.
T.A., who's a big supporter of Archie's Wings on the south side. T.A. said this is a big day for him. He has to show us some stuff. Then he doesn't play?
So maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's hurt then. Maybe he got hurt in practice.
Maybe we're looking like idiots right now, and Tomlin said that he didn't play.
Wouldn't be the first time.
When would he have got hurt?
I don't know. Practice, maybe. People get hurt in practice. Don't pretend like that's never happened. All right. So what do we take out of this game?
Nothing. Sloppy.
What?
I don't take nothing that they didn't want to play.
Sloppy as hell. Poor tackling, probably because nobody wanted to get hurt. Great job, Scotty Miller. You're definitely on the team. Who else?
Ben Sauls. Oh, well, Boswell kicked. Ooh, I thought he was holding out. He's not holding out, right?
No, he's not holding out.
Ballsy.
Congratulations to Ben Sauls, who had a really solid final preseason game. We're
about the punter competition. I know Corliss really shanked one of his first punt.
Yeah, that was bad.
That's why you keep Cam Johnson. Yeah. It's not. They're very similar in length inside the 20, but you got to be consistent. And that's what the Steelers have always struggled with their punters, consistency. And Cam Johnson is consistent.
Yeah, I don't think there's much of a question there. I think Cam Johnson's the punter. Corliss Waitman will catch on somewhere else. Same way Ben Sauls will sit around and wait for somebody to get hurt and maybe catch on somewhere.
We only got two punts in this game. Holy crap.
As a team?
Wait, am I looking?
That doesn't sound right.
Final individual statistics. Punting. Corliss Waitman, 1 for 35. Cam Johnson, 1 for 33.
Okay. So what are you doing, Coach? You're keeping Cam Johnson, right?
I'm keeping Cam Johnson.
Yeah, I would too. All right. So
where the hell did he – Cam Johnson had that bad snap, and he kicked it inside the 20, right? I thought it was inside the 20. He got it inside the 20, but they returned it.
Yes.
15 yards.
Let's see if we can find the Cam Johnson. I can't find it right now. I'm not worried about it. We'll do a roster breakdown tomorrow. How's that sound?
I got to sneeze.
Please don't all over the camera. I don't need that right now. Well, you have learned to use the mute button. Woo! Look at that. Holy hell, am I proud of you tonight. All right, just a quick little instant reaction to tonight's final preseason game. We'll do a full roster breakdown in the morning to get you off into the weekend.
Tell Justin, whenever Mac wakes up.
What do you mean whenever? Yeah, because I'm always sleeping in. I'm the reason we were up and doing this thing at like 8:30 in the morning the other day.
And I've been up since 5.
Congratulations. Okay, we're all real proud of you. I don't know. We'll do like
Dolek reporting MRI. He must have already called Dr. Bradley.
10:30 tomorrow sound good?
I think 10:30.
What the hell else do you have going on?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think before I commit to this. Jason Shorten, how many naps a day? Whatever it is, it's no more than 43 minutes each time, and that's overnight.
Kabali doesn't actually get a full night's sleep. Nah. He just takes like 6 naps throughout the course of naps throughout the course of the day. And none of them goes longer than 90 minutes.
No, 90 minutes is a good one. But 10:30
tomorrow. We'll do a full roster breakdown because cut down day is on Tuesday.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
There we go.
He might practice Saturday. I don't know.
Superfan Carol says Dulac's reporting a knee sprain, MRI tomorrow. Not season ending, but will be out at least a couple of weeks. That's according to Big G Jerry.
Yeah, because he texted golf buddy Doc Bradley. But, well, we all know this. I mean, it's besides, I'm not breaking any news here. But that's about what a sprained knee does. Of course he's getting an MRI. Of course. They're not getting MRIs there.
Well, but a couple
x-rays there.
But a couple of weeks, I mean, I don't want to get crazy, but like a couple of weeks, he could be back week one still. Yeah. Like I'm not saying that's the case. But
when I said Christian Kuntz is out several weeks, is there any difference between several and a couple? More than two.
No, a couple's two. Several's more than two.
Two or more.
Several for me would be like three or more.
Well, I don't care what you say.
Because if it was two, you would just say a couple.
Definition of several.
And if it was three, you would say a few.
An indifferent number more than two and fewer than many. What the hell does that mean?
Exactly.
More than two, but not many is several. So
we were only going to do this little post-game thing for like 20 minutes.
I'm just telling you what several means. I'm just telling you, not much difference between couple and several. It's not really
Carol, super fan Carol in the YouTube comments is right. Several to me is more than three.
I just looked it up on the
I don't care what you looked up, dictionary boy.
It says more than two, but not many. Then it looks down a little bit further and it says more than two.
I don't need you to read the dictionary live on the stream.
I'm just telling you what it is, though.
Okay. So anyway, there's
a couple are very similar.
No.
Yes.
A couple is never more than two. A couple is two. Several is most likely more than two.
Yeah, maybe three. Two to three.
No.
It's not several, much difference.
Jesus. This is so stupid.
I'm just telling you, there's not much difference between several.
People are opening this up and watching it. They're like, what the hell did I just check in on? I thought these two numbnuts were going to talk about the preseason game. And they're arguing about the definition of several. That's what you get here, Kabali and Mac. Thanks to all the sponsors. Thanks to all of you. We'll actually do a full episode, although, hell, we went for 35 minutes. Jeez. We'll actually do a full episode tomorrow morning around 10:30. Maybe we'll have more of a Derek Harmon update by then. We'll have a better definition of what several means. Thank you, Justin. A couple is two, a few is three, several is four plus.
I thought what the definition says.
I don't care what the dictionary says.
Oh, I'm going to listen to Justin rather than Merriam-Webster.
Don't you talk shit on Merriam. She's an upstanding woman.
Who?
Merriam-Webster.
Which one is it, Marion or Webster?
I don't know. Merriam. It's not Marion. It's not Marion Barber. Okay, that's enough for tonight. This was supposed to be real quick. We'll do a full roster dive tomorrow. 10:30. Same place you're watching it here on X or YouTube. Be sure to follow at Kabali and Mac. More arguments about what words mean and other nonsense too. Open the mango. It's okay. Do it.